Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Joe.
Ooh, it's day two of a really fun unit on plants, the nasty and wacky side of plants. You know, not all plants are just beautiful and sweet-smelling. Some are kind of devious, and they're killer plants. And we're going to talk about some killer plants today.
That's right. Yesterday, we focused on the smelly plants of the plant kingdom, and today we're going to focus on plants that actually eat living things, and not just bugs,
yeah,
either. I'd heard about this one that we were going to talk about today called the Venus flytrap.
Yeah.
That's probably the most famous predatory plant that there is.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to talk about some other ones that actually eat animals. They eat animals, rodents, things like that. It just seems so crazy to me that a plant can do that. But they can, and we're going to learn all about that today and how they do that. We're also going to learn about some less gruesome things as well today, so
okay,
we'll kind of balance it out a little bit. We've talked about the smelly, we're going to talk about the deadly, and we're also going to talk about the less gruesome parts of the plant world today, too, kind of the weirder side of it.
You know, I don't know about you, Joe, but when I was in elementary school, in my fourth grade class, we had a Venus flytrap plant in the classroom, you know, because we wanted to learn about the whole process of digestion, what it means to change food into stuff your body can use. And it was kind of fun. As soon as you touch any part of that Venus flytrap, it closes. It's kind of fun for little kids.
Yeah, it'd be a good way to learn about nature and survival of the fittest,
cool,
too, I guess, if you ever saw it catch a fly or something like that.
We were all excited about that when it happened.
Well, why don't we go ahead and read through day two of the nasty and wacky side of plants, and then we'll come back to discuss the plants we're going to talk about today. Super smelliness is not the only unexpected trait in the plant kingdom. The Venus flytrap is a deadly predator, to insects at least. These deceptive plants have developed the ability to lure insects and spiders with a sweet-smelling sap. The unsuspecting insect lands on the flytrap, touching special hairs that signal for the trap to snap quickly shut. The captured prey is helpless as the plant sets about digesting its living meal. In a similar vein is the alluring pitcher plant, which possesses dangling jug-like parts that are slippery on the inside, making escape impossible, and filled with a fluid that drowns any unfortunate little creature that dares venture in. This exotic plant is as untrustworthy as the Venus flytrap. But it's not just mini meals that interest the pitcher plant. Researchers in the Philippines found specimens so large that they can trap and digest rats, reminding us that beauty really is only skin deep. Less gruesome are the hardy baobab trees, some of which are thought to reach 2,000 years in age. These strangely shaped trees are capable of storing up to 120,000 liters of water, and so they are an essential resource for wandering nomads and local wildlife. At the other end of the botanical spectrum, the resurrection fern can survive without water until the brink of death, shrinking up as if lifeless. Just the tiniest drop of water is enough for the fern to burst forth again into all its former glory. In the diversity of nature, we can find everything, from the majestic to the monstrous. Though we may respect the ancient baobab, we might be thankful there are no stinking corpse lilies in our gardens.
Well, we've spent the first program talking about the super smelly plants. But super smelliness is not the only unexpected trait or quality that plants can have in the plant kingdom. A trait is some sort of characteristic that you have, an attribute. You could describe someone as having a really good sense of humor. That's somebody's, one of somebody's at least, their personality traits, what they're like, how you can describe them. Well, we're going to talk about some other unexpected characteristics or traits that occur in the plant kingdom.
Well, let's talk about the Venus flytrap first, and it's a deadly predator. A predator is an animal, or in this case a plant, that hunts other animals, tries to kill them and eat them. And it's a deadly predator to insects, at least, so it's a threat. It's trying to kill other insects. These deceptive plants have developed the ability to lure insects and spiders with a sweet-smelling sap. If you're trying to lure something, it just means that you're trying to draw them in. You're trying to trick them into getting close to you. So these plants, they're very deceptive, meaning they're trying to trick these insects and lure them, trying to get them close to them. And they're doing so with this sweet-smelling sap. Sap is like kind of a thick liquid. It's usually very sweet, full of natural sugars and things like that. And this would be the sort of thing that insects would be attracted to. So this is the bait, in other words, that they're trying to lure these insects with.
Yeah, a lot of times people are lured in to bad business deals because of lies that people tell them or false promises. Well, I guess the technique that these plants use is they have a very sweet-smelling sap. Like Joe said, sap is a really thick, sticky liquid. It's usually found in trees and plants. I think of the maple tree when I think of sap, right? It's a thick liquid that comes out of the tree trunk. Well, this sap is really sweet smelling. So, of course, insects and spiders think, yay, that'll taste good, right? Well, they go over there. They're unsuspecting, which means they don't suspect any harm or danger. They're just going out there trying to get a little bit of food for themselves. They think, that looks good. I'm going over there. But the bad thing is they land on the fly trap. That's the area that has little tiny hairs. They're special because once something touches those hairs, it's a signal for the Venus fly trap to snap quickly shut. And then they're stuck. They can't get away. But remember, they're still alive inside.
And the captured prey is helpless as the plant sets about digesting its living meal. So the top of the fly trap, it almost looks like a giant mouth or a jaw or something like that.
Yeah.
And it snaps shut, just like your teeth will snap shut when you're chewing on something. And it doesn't open again. It just stays closed. And the captured prey, the prey is the animal or the insect that is being hunted by the predator, is helpless as the plant sets about or starts digesting its live meal. Digesting just means working the food through your body, through your digestive system, through your stomach and through your other organs that break down the food so that your body can use them. It's the same in plants, too. They will digest this insect and break it down into its smaller parts so that the plant can actually use them to stay alive and to nourish itself.
Now, when you set about something, this is a verb phrase that means you start doing something or you start dealing with something. We use it especially when we're talking about something that needs a lot of time and effort, a lot of determination sometimes. For example, maybe you have some math homework that's pretty tough. Well, you're going to set about doing it because you want to get a good grade. Well, they set about digesting this meal inside them. Remember, it's still alive. It's kind of like those snakes that can swallow rats alive. So they swallow the rats whole. They don't have any teeth to chew them up. And slowly that rat has to die inside that way. It's kind of gross.
Well, speaking of plants that can digest rats, in a similar vein, we have the alluring pitcher plant. In a similar vein just means similar to the thing that we were talking about previously. So we were talking about a plant that can eat insects. Now we're going to talk about another alluring plant called the pitcher plant. If something is alluring, it can attract things toward it. It makes things want to go close to it or go near it. And this pitcher plant possesses, or it has, dangling jug-like parts that are slippery on the inside, making escape impossible. These parts, they dangle, meaning that they hang from the plant. And they're kind of like a jug, which is like a cup that you would drink from. And they're slippery on the inside, so it makes escape impossible, and they're filled with a fluid that drowns any unfortunate little creature that dares venture in. A fluid is just like a liquid. Water is a fluid, for example. And it drowns anything that goes inside the plant. If you drown, it just means that you die because water fills your lungs and you can't breathe anymore.
Ooh.
So if you go to the ocean, for example, and you jump in the water and you can't swim, well, then you're in danger of drowning. It's the same with anything that gets near these dangling jug-like parts of the pitcher plant. If they go inside these parts, it's slippery, so they can't climb out, and then they get trapped in this fluid and they eventually drown.
Ooh, isn't that a terrible way to die? Ooh, well, when you venture in somewhere, this is being used as a verb. To venture somewhere means you go somewhere that could possibly be dangerous for you. For example, a lot of jungles can be dangerous places for people. But some explorers are willing to venture in. They want to see what's inside. Well, these little creatures that dare to venture in actually end up dying because they drowned in that liquid. Well, this is one way to kill your prey, I guess. This exotic plant is as untrustworthy as the Venus flytrap. If you're not trustworthy, people can't trust you. They can't depend on you to do what you say you will or what they think you're going to do. These look like perfectly harmless plants to these little bugs, these little insects, but once they're in, they die. If something's exotic, we often use this word to mean it's unusual, it's interesting, and we often will associate something exotic with a foreign country. Maybe you've been to some exotic places in your life. I know you have, Joe.
That's right. I've been to some exotic places here around Southeast Asia, but I've never seen anything quite as exotic as this pitcher plant. And we're saying it's just as untrustworthy as the Venus flytrap. So there's some similarities there. Mm-hmm. But in the case of this pitcher plant, it's not just mini meals that interest it. It's after something a little bit bigger. Researchers, in fact, in the Philippines have found specimens so large that they can trap and digest rats. So rats, rodents, can grow actually quite large.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen one crawling around in the streets, there's not a lot of rats here in Taipei, but every once in a while, I'll see one.
We had lots of rats in New York City.
Okay, New York is famous for rats. In Canada, Vancouver has a lot of rats.
Okay.
They can get really, really big. You wouldn't expect a rat to be something that could be eaten by a plant, let alone a flower. Mm-hmm. But this reminds us that beauty really is only skin deep. Now, this is a common phrase that we have, beauty is only skin deep.
Mm-hmm.
It just refers to the fact that people can be really pretty on the outside, but you have to look to the person within them as well, to their personality, not just their appearance. So although this pitcher plant, it might look kind of pretty, though, but it's a deadly predator to these animals, too. So just because it's beautiful doesn't mean it's not dangerous.
That's right. Someone who's never dangerous and is quite lovely is our Chinese teacher. Let's listen now.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Kevin, again. 今天我们要继续来看一看还有什么样的花朵值得我们一起来好好了解一下。首先，第一段我们要介绍的就是 Venus flytrap, 也就是捕蝇草。大意是说它会用很香的汁液来引诱昆虫，不宜有它的昆虫一旦停在捕蝇草上，触碰到特殊的触毛，它就会让捕蝇草闭合起来，而被捕的猎物只能无助地成为捕蝇草的一餐了。在地句话里头，我们看到了植物界它所表达的方式是 plant kingdom, 而我们事实上知道，我们说生物的分类的方法有界门纲目科属种，而这边的 kingdom代表的就是界的意思。在这段的中间呢，我们就看到了有一个词，就是 with a sweet smelling sap, 它的意思是闻起来很香的树液。而这边的复合形容词 sweet smelling, 可能大家会觉得很奇怪，这个闻起来很香照道理应该是被闻，那怎么会用 ing 主动的现在分词来结合成这样子的一个复合形容词呢？事实上我们知道 smell 的用法，它在句子里头闻起来如何如何是用主动的用法。像我们造个句子，玫瑰花闻起来很香，这时候我们用的是 the roses smell sweet, 既然是用的是主动，所以它变成的这个复合形容词我们也是要用主动的结构，所以用的是 ving。同样的情况，我们说看起来很好看的就是 good looking, 因为我们可以说 something looks good, 也是主动的用法。尝起来很苦的叫 bitter tasting, 因为我们说 something tastes bitter, 都是主动的用法。也就是因为如此，我们要把它变成了复合形容词的话，就要用主动的结构，也就是用 ing 的形式。 在倒数的第二句里头，我们看到了有 touching 这样的一个现在分词，实际上我们看得出来它就是用 and touches 所简化而来的。另外我们看到这句话里头，后面看到 snap 这个单字表示啪的一声关起来了，而最后面那个字 shut 在这边是当形容词的用法，表示关闭的。我们说 snap something shut 就是啪的一声让什么东西关闭起来，也就是说 shut 在这边是当作补语的功能。最后一句里头我们看到了 The captured prey is helpless， 表示被捕捉到的猎物呢它会很无助。 As the plant sets about digesting its living meal， 因为这个植物要开始把活生生的一餐要消化掉了。所以我们看到这个片语 set about， 它代表是开始着手进行的意思，而在它的后头我们要记得是 ving 动名词的形式。接下来这一段所要介绍的是用类似的方式来捕捉昆虫的 pitcher plant， 也就是猪笼草，但是说在它像瓮子一样的陷阱里头，里面有一种液体会吸引不幸的小生物进来，并且把它给淹死掉。但是和捕蝇草不同的是，它不是只吃小昆虫而已。在菲律宾曾经有研究发现，有猪笼草大到可以将一只老鼠消化掉，这样的花草都在提醒我们，美丽真的是肤浅的，它的外表只是一种表象而已，千万不要因此而上当了。在这段的一开头，我们看到了 in a similar vein， 这个片语所代表的其实就相当于 in a similar way， 或者是 in a similar fashion， 或者是 in a similar manner， 这些都代表着是以同样的方式。而这边我刚刚所说的 way， fashion， manner， 也就代表方式方法的意思。另外在这一段当中我们看到了 filled with the fluid that drowns any unfortunate little creature that dares venture in， 在这句话里头我们看到 dare 这个字的用法，我们说有勇气做某一件事情，我们可以直接在它后面加原形动词来表示有勇气做某事的意思。换句话说，后面的 venture 这个字呢，它是一个动词的用法，表示去冒险的意思。而在这段的最后我们看到了 Beauty is only skin deep， 表示的是美丽是肤浅的，也就是指美丽它只是一种外表的表象而已。而在这边就是说到很多昆虫就是因为所散发的美妙气味所被迷惑，而因而葬送了生命。
It's time to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to English Digest. I'm Joe, and I'm here with Stephanie. We're on day two of our plants unit, discussing some really unusual, and in the case of today, some deadly plants. We started off by talking about probably the most famous predator of the plant world, the Venus flytrap, which tries to lure insects in with some sweet-smelling sap. But once the bugs are in its mouth, its jaws quickly snap shut, and, well, that's the end of that little bug.
Yep.
Then we talked about the pitcher plant, and it kind of uses a similar strategy. It lures these bugs in, and not just bugs, too, but actually rodents, such as rats as well, into these dangling jug-like parts that it has, and eventually the bugs or the rats or whatever is unfortunate enough to fall in there, they will drown, and then the plant sets about the gruesome task of digesting these things, so...Plants might be beautiful, but they can be dangerous too, at least to bugs or rodents. Probably not to you or me.
No, I think we're too big for them. I don't think I'd be falling into that. Well, let's move on to some less gruesome types of plants. Here's the hardy baobab tree. It's hardy, so it really can endure quite a bit. Maybe it's hardy because it can survive in bad weather, or maybe there's not enough water or too much water.They're okay anywhere. They can really survive well. Some of these trees are thought to reach 2,000 years in age. That's a really old tree. The only other tree that I can think of that lasts that long is the olive tree that they find in the Middle East a lot. Some of those trees are really old. Some go back to the days of Jesus when he was there.Well, these are less gruesome. When I see the word gruesome, Joe, I always think of horror movies where there's a lot of blood and guts and people are killed. And I don't like those kind of movies. Well, these trees are less gruesome than the plants we've been discussing that are predatory plants.
They do have kind of a strange shape, we learn now, and they're capable of storing up to 120,000 liters of water. So that means that they can keep this huge amount of water within them. So they are an essential resource for wandering nomads and local wildlife. So because they can keep so much water within them, they're essential, or in other words, they're something that people or wildlife really need to stay alive. They're a resource for these wandering nomads. Nomads are people who don't live in one place. They move from place to place, usually in relationship to the seasons. So if it's winter in a place, they will move somewhere that is perhaps not so harsh, or where it's a little bit warmer, and then in the summer they'll move somewhere else. So they move around a lot, in other words. You hear a lot about people like that in Mongolia. There's a lot of nomads here that still practice that lifestyle of moving from place to place. So they will need sources of water while they're moving around, and wildlife, of course, need that as well because they need water to live. So if they can find a baobab tree, then they can find a ready supply of water.
It's kind of nice to know about. I've never thought of a tree supplying water like that. Well, this tree has a lot of water it can store, but we're going to talk about the other end of the botanical spectrum. Botanical means related to plants, and a spectrum is just a range of something. We'll often use the word spectrum to talk about a spectrum of light or sound. You know, there are some sounds human beings can't hear, but dogs can. So it goes from loud to soft. Well, we've got a botanical spectrum. Plants that can store a lot of water, all the way to this particular plant called the resurrection fern. It can survive without water until the brink of death. This phrase, the brink of death, means you're just about to move into a new situation. But it can be a really bad one. So you're on the edge of changing your situation. You can be on the brink of death, on the brink of disaster, or if two countries aren't getting along, they might be on the brink of war.
So this fern is called the resurrection fern, and resurrection means to come back to life after something is dead or if it's almost dead. So it can survive until it's almost dead, and it shrinks up as if lifeless. So it kind of curls up like it's dead or like it's dying or something like that. But just the tiniest drop of water is enough for the fern to burst forth again into all its former glory. So that's why they call it the resurrection fern. It can survive till it's almost dead. It shrinks up. It looks like it's dead. But then if you just pour a little bit of water on it, it comes back to life. It resurrects, or it is resurrected, in other words.
I need one of these plants in my apartment because sometimes I forget to water my house plants. And by the time I look at them, I think, uh-oh, they're ready to die. Well, this is a great plant because even if you do forget to water it, if you just give it the tiniest bit of water, it comes back and looks just like it did before. Now, when we talk about the diversity of nature or even the diversity of something, it's another word we could use instead of a variety of something. So it's a range of different people or things or ideas. So perhaps in your school you have a diversity of kids. They have different personalities. And if you have a flower garden, you might have a diversity of flowers there.
So in nature, we can find everything from the majestic, things that look really big and impressive and almost like they're kings of the jungle or kings of the rainforest, because majestic has to do with royalty, with kings and queens and princes and princesses, but we can also apply it to things in nature, too. We often talk about a lion as looking majestic, as if it's the king of the African savannah or something like that. We can find everything from the majestic to the monstrous, things that look like they stepped right out of a horror movie. They look like monsters of nature, like these killer plants we've been talking about today. So though we may respect the ancient baobab, and why not, because it's been a source of water for nomads for probably a very, very long time. Some of these trees, like we said, can reach up to 2,000 years in age.
So
they might have been supplying water to people traveling through these regions for thousands of years, literally.
Yeah.
So we might be thankful, though, on the other end of the spectrum here, as we said before, that there are no stinking corpse lilies in our gardens. I'm sure Stephanie is very grateful
for that.
Yeah. I'm grateful there's no stinking corpse lilies within 1,000 miles of me, really, because I don't want to smell rotting meat when I step into a garden.
Ew.
I want to smell sweet-smelling flowers and things like that.
Yeah, me too. Okay, everybody, it's time for a Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
接下来主要介绍的就是猴面包树。这段大意是说，这些树寿命可以达2000年之久。这些形状怪异的树却能够储存高达12万公升的水。对于那些游牧的人，或者是当地的野生动物来说，可以说是一项很重要的资源。而这段的后半部提到了一种植物，就是复苏蕨。它可以没有水，一直存活到接近快要死亡的边缘。在没有水情况之下，它会整个缩起来，仿佛没有生命力一样。但是只要一小滴水，就能够马上让它回复到昔日的光彩。在这一段里头，第一句话我们看到了 Some of which are thought to reach 2,000 years in age。 这边的 which 是一个冠带的用法，我们这边一定要用 which 的原因是因为冠带可以当作连接词来使用，来连接，来引导后面这个形容词子句。一般同学可能会误以为这边填 them， 虽然 them 放进去的话呢语义通顺，但是呢这边的话文法就不对了，因为 them 它不能当作连接词来连接后面这个句子。另外在这段里头，我们看到最后一句里头有 as if lively 这样的用法，事实上就完整的结构来说的话呢，应该是 as if it is lifeless， 而这边事实上就是省略了相同的主词 it 以及 be 动词，我们把它变成是 being 之后，而 being 在我们说副词子句简化成为分词构句的这样子的一个过程当中，这个 being 是可以省略掉的，所以后面就变成了 as if lifeless。 在这边我们看到 as if 这个片语表示仿佛好像，它就可以相当于 as though 的用法。我们要特别记住在它的后头我们用的是假设法，好比我们来造两个句子，他说起话来就好像他知道一切一样，那么这句话我们就可以把它翻译成为 He talks as if he knew everything。 这边我们说 he knew everything 是因为来表示与现在事实相反，所以我们用过去式 he knew everything。 那我们再造个句子，这个废弃的房子看起来好像它已经被废弃了好几十年一样，那么这句话就可以翻译成为 The deserted house looked as if it had been deserted for decades。在 as if 的后头，我们看到 it had been deserted， 用的是过去完成式，也就是为了表示与过去事实相反的假设法，所以我们用的就是过去完成式，用 had 加上 pp。 在最后一段里头，我们看到了第一行有一个单字叫 diversity， 它所代表的是多样性，而我们常所提到的生物多样性就叫做 biological diversity。 biological 的拼法是 biological，biological.
Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We hope you've enjoyed learning about some really crazy types of plants. They're definitely not your typical sweet-smelling red roses we're talking about. We hope you'll join us for our upcoming program. Till then, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Joe. Goodbye.
Bye.